Good to see all of you this morning. Appreciate the invitation to be here. I trust the Lord will bless the services to the glory and honor of his great name, that the Lord himself would be honored and raised up on high in the singing, in the prayers, and in the preaching. I'm going to go to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. When we look at the sermons that Jesus preached, it requires a great deal of thought, meditation upon the things that he says. There was no carnality in Jesus' language and the words that he chose. Pure spiritual was his words, his instructions. And the parable of the sower sets forth several parables. Well, then the 13th chapter sets forth several parables, and all pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. And certainly he's speaking about discipleship, our behavior as a disciple walking with him, being able to know the truth and the paths in which the Lord speaks of. I want to read into verse 12 of this chapter. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. When Jesus preached, many times he preached to large congregation, a great number of people. In the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, we find that where Jesus lost some disciples because of what he was bringing forth in a great truth. They was given great knowledge by Christ on that day. He speaks in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Such great knowledge that the Lord gave unto them. His teaching was in a way that would give them, that would secure their hope. Not give them hope, but secure their hope. Brighten it. Give them a consolation. The 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. This knowledge that's given is very valuable. But we see that many of the disciples of Jesus Christ, they walked with him so far and would not walk with him any further. When I look back in the 1500s of the time of the Reform, of Martin Luther, of Tyndale, of John Calvin, they were willing to go to a certain point, but they was not willing to go all the way. And what has happened to those groups that has followed these men? They have slowly lost those great teachings that they begin to see when they came out of a organization that is based upon idolatry. Jesus says, to him that hath shall be given in abundance. In other words, he'll grow. To him that hath not, these verses, when we look at it, let me read it again. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. When Jesus speaks this parable unto the people that were listening to him, they had a choice to make. Either try to understand more of what Jesus said, or go on about their business and let it go. In other words, they did not use the knowledge that was given them to grow. Jesus Christ gives an invitation. He says, let me get the verse right. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. This verse here is, first of all, an invitation that Jesus gives. It's not a universal invitation. He limits it to those who are laboring and heavy laden. In other words, burdened down with sin, has been made to realize what they are by nature, what they have been born into, received from the same nature of Adam, that same corrupt nature. And so this invitation are to those who feel their unworthiness, to feel like that hell is their home. We see that Jesus gives this invitation to come unto me. And he said, I'll give you rest. There's individuals that are laboring and heavy laden, trying to secure their eternal home and secure the homes of their friends and family. They have a great zeal for this. But Jesus, in his words, in his teachings, he gives a rest. Notice John 6:37 again, when he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will on no wise cast out. Brother, I rest in those words. They bring forth a comfort that I'm not concerned about whether my family or my friends are eternally secure. That's in the hands of Almighty God, the same where mine is. I don't think my wife will mind me using this morning. She grew up in a home where there was division. Her mom took her to a Methodist church, and her dad took her to the Jehovah's Witness, what do they call it, Kingdom Hall. Every other week, she went to one or the other. And the strange thing about it is that her mother believed that the way that her husband believed, that he would not be in heaven. And strangely enough, that her husband believed that because of what his wife believed, that he would not be able to see her in eternity. When I was baptized in 1975, it was the first time my wife came into a Primitive Baptist church. She's rested now that it didn't make any difference because she saw the fruits of her mom and dad, and there's no question in her mind where they are today. They went on home to be with the Lord. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you experienced that rest? I have. I know my wife has. But not only that, when she got that news, she has increased in it. Jesus says, whosoever hath, notice he says, for whosoever hath that knowledge, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. More knowledge that comes. More of the truth that builds upon that one foundation of truth, that Jesus Christ has done all things well. What about those who's come in church and has fallen away? I can't count how many. Since I've been a member of the Perry Baptist Church, how many has started up this road and one thing or another has caused them not to go anymore? They tripped up, decided that it's too hard of a path to walk. Jesus puts this forth: they that hear the word by the wayside are they that receive the word in stony places. You have those by the wayside, those in the stony places, and those amongst thistles and thorns. How many of you know that because of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches has fallen away? I can tell you a lot. I will not for respect for them. But I have seen some that's gotten caught up into the world, whether it be Women's Lib. Remember Women's Lib back in the 60s and 70s? I've seen members get caught up in Women's Lib. And yet we have the teachings of the scriptures of how women are behaved themselves in the house of God. I've seen some get tripped up. That word tripped up, or occasion that they fall, is like the occasion to commit sin. And I've seen some do that very thing. How about marriages? Notice that Jesus, we find, gives such a great teachings in the Holy Scriptures upon a marriage, and how beautiful that is, how stable it is, and how it's so important for the children of that marriage, for that marriage to continue. Is there rough and rocky roads? Yes. But if it's built, founded upon the rock, which is Christ, it will stand. But if it's built upon that nut, that on the sandy shores, it will fall. You know what sand is? Little pebbles or little pieces of rock. If it's built upon not that foundation, it will fall. But when a marriage, there is ways to look in the Holy Scriptures to find out how, if difficulties come, how do we solve these problems? Jesus gives forth here of growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Peter says. We find there is a growth. He talks about the good soil, some yielding 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Every good ground needs to be tilled. You can't hardly sink a plow on rocky soil or rocky ground, or when there's only a little bit of earth covering the rocks. Up home where I live, we can plow at least 12 inches deep. That's where I lived before, in Baltimore, Ohio. I move up to Mount Vernon, Ohio, and the topsoil is only about 6 inches deep. Difference in depth. I was plowing one day with my brother's tractor, and the tractor was really laboring. So I just lifted up the drawbar a little bit, and the tractor just went on easy. Didn't want to strain it. And I told him about it. He jumped my case. He said, I want to plow that deep. I want to go that deep. In the 58th chapter of the book of Isaiah, he says, doeth not the plowman plow all day? I'm plowing this morning. Plowing in your hearts. That's exactly what the plowman is doing. He's plowing. Plowing up that ground to go in deep, that bring out the good things in the heart that God has taught you. Because the ministry, the Apostle Paul says, but we have this ministry in earthen vessels to give them knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says that the minister shines the light upon the knowledge that God put in your heart. That's what it's for. So the preacher is a plowman. He will plow, and sometimes he will plow deep to break up the clods, to break up the furrows, to plant the good seed. But he also fertilizes. I'll never forget Elder Jones, Elder Paul Jones. He preached on crabgrass doctrine. I can see by some of your comments that you remember that. He was reading about how to get rid of crabgrass in the yard, and what he found was the best way to get rid of it is to fertilize. He said that's the best way to get rid of crabgrass. Chemicals won't do it, but you fertilize. And Elder Jones, he's always good at bringing this in, how that we find that preaching the truth is good fertilize. And when we preach the truth that is in Jesus Christ, first of all, we break up that fallow ground that God's people realize and acknowledge what they are by nature. That we are completely and totally depraved without any spark of spirituality until one is born of the Holy Spirit. And who are we? Sinners saved by the sovereign grace of God. And so the plowman will plow all day. We find that Isaiah over in the 58th chapter was doing some plowing, but very few was listening. Very few was listening in his day. They made a covenant with death. I ask myself, how does a person make a covenant with death? Any salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is making a covenant with death. They trusted in their ability. In that 58th chapter, Isaiah saw all these pack animals carrying, laden with goods, all these things of gold and silver going down into Egypt to buy the Pharaoh's help of his army to come up to fight against the Assyrians. And God says, I will nullify your covenant with death. Any salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is no salvation at all. He is our great Redeemer and our Savior. The word Jesus itself means Savior. And so here, the plowman, he plows all day to break up the clods, to make straight the face the way, to make straight the face thereof. Then he casts in the principal wheat to sow that it may bring forth good fruit. Some brought forth 30. Some 60, some 100. These in the good ground. I believe that every child of God that's born of the Spirit has good ground. But he doesn't do anything with it. Not all does. The weeds take over. You get rid of the weeds. I told my granddaughters this week, I was helping them in their garden. I said, you get rid of the weeds and you improve the corn. She says, what does that mean? I said, the weeds are taking the food away from the corn. Oh, she says. She's about 10 years old. Many of God's children don't do with what God has placed in their heart. The weeds take over. But what is said in the book of Isaiah, every hill that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither the fear of briars and thorns. Sometimes the mattock has to be used. In this 12th verse, when the Lord teaches you something, grow in it. Use it. That's the good ground. It will bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness of those that exercise thereby. May God bless you. Is not my prayer.